WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
Evening, Tuscaloosa, and welcome into your student section for tonight. I am your host, Will Miller, joined today by
Luke Torrey
and Carson Keel.
And we're going to be bringing you all things Major League Baseball on this fine evening. Hope you're having a fantastic day. Guys, let's get right into it because, like any sport, we've got news of the day, and one of the top stories in the sport right now is Aaron Judge's chase for the American League home run record, and he got one closer this afternoon.
Yeah, I mean, 55 home runs with today, of course, playing the Twins in a doubleheader. So, again, he's playing a Twins team that's considered weaker than what everyone's thought in the preseason, but getting some home runs and going forwards and trying to catch that record, which with this Yankees team, who knows, but still trying as hard as he can to, you know, reach that record.
Yeah, I mean, like 55 homers, 26 games left is just like, he's on better pace than Maris was. I think he's passing him. What do you guys think?
I mean, I think he gets it. It's just a question of whether it's in the regular season or in the postseason. And obviously depends on how the Yankees fare when October rolls around, which is speculative year over year. But, yeah, I think he does it, just bottom line. He's eventually going to do it, especially with, you know, nearly 30 games left, like Luke mentioned. It's an insane pace to be on. I don't think anybody would have forecasted this. It's probably the best thing Aaron Judge could have done for himself in a contract year with a lot of drama surrounding his situation with the team and, you know, will they, won't they, in terms of re-signing him. He makes more money by the day.
One thing to keep in mind, though, a lot of injuries on the Yankees team, not many hitters hitting very well behind him. If you're an opposing manager, like, I'm not pitching to him. Like, until these guys behind him prove themselves and prove the fact that they can hit, I'm walking him. Today he had two intentional walks in the first game of the doubleheader today, and I don't doubt that we'll see more in the second game.
Yeah, I mean, again, like you said, I don't want my guys throwing to Aaron. I mean, who wants to right now? Postseason, that's, of course, a different scenario where you're going to have to throw because you're hoping that he's going to have a bad stretch in the playoffs. I mean, again, playoffs is a whole nother season. But right now in the regular season, especially as we're winding down for a majority of teams, walk him. I mean, if we're going to lose a game, let's just go and just throw him on base.
After a season like this, I don't know how the Yankees could let him walk. I saw a article earlier today about the Yankees team president, Randy Levine, said, he said it's an all-time season for Aaron Judge. It's going up with history, like other great Yankee legends. He declined the 7-year, $213 million deal earlier this year.
That's insultingly low.
Yeah, he bet on himself, and it's paying off. But he said it's gonna have to be extraordinarily competitive in contract talks. So I don't see the Yankees letting him walk. I don't see how they won't let him walk after a season like this. He's leading the team in average. He's leading the team in RBIs, OPS. Scratch the team. He's leading the AL in almost every category. He's hitting above 300. I just don't see how he's letting him walk.
Well, guys, let's bring up something here because the contracts are getting larger. But let's look at this season. We've had Julio Rodriguez get an extension that maxes out at close to $500 million. Juan Soto was offered $440 million by the Nationals, which, of course, we know he didn't accept. But does Aaron Judge, after his season this year, also given his position on the field and the fact that he's not terrible in years he doesn't hit 55 home runs, does he command a $400 million salary?
I think he does because he is versatile. Like, for 6'7" frame, he's got 15 stolen bases on the year. He plays a great right field, a great center field. He had injury problems in the past. He's proven that he could stay healthy the past 2 years. Hasn't missed a lot of games. This year he's played every game, three games, off days. But I mean, he's a great defensive player. He's sneaky speed for his size. He's all around hitter. He drives balls the other way. He's a 300 hitter, and he's leading the entire MLB in home runs, RBIs, and he's up there in average too.
And I mean, something else you got to mention, he's an overall star right now. I mean, for the Yankees, yes, they have the prestige of the New York Yankees, Bronx Bombers and all that, but he's a true star. All rise. I mean, everyone knows it's just because of the last name, but I mean, if you want to, you know, you got the Mets who are in town also. Yes, they're playing in Queens compared to the Bronx, but I mean, if you want to stay in front of that curve, especially with season tickets, and you're looking at the business side of things, you want to have someone like Aaron Judge on your roster. The name value alone is worth that money.
I mean, yes, and like you said, like if the Yankees struggling, the Yankees have been struggling. If Judge hadn't done what he did in the past week, the division would have completely evaporated from under them. He is legit carrying the entire team.
Well, I mean, it also helps that the AL East is kind of right now really weak. I mean, yes, you have Boston, you have Baltimore, and you have Toronto. Tampa Bay is kind of right there on the Yankees' heels a little bit, but
six games,
but still, that's, as we're starting to, like I said, we're winding down. We're less than a month away from the season ending at this point. I mean, six games is really hard to make up at this point. So it's just, yes, Aaron Judge has basically saved the Yankees' season. Could they have made the wild card? That's really good possibility that they would have. But, I mean, this Yankees season is saved because of Aaron Judge. There's no other way to put that, because this Yankees roster, it stinks right now. I think that's the best term to use. There's no other way to describe.
I mean, yeah, the fact Josh Donaldson, Gleyber Torres struggling, although Gleyber Torres went yard today. Half the roster is made up of young guys. We called up Oswaldo Cabrera. He had a walk-off single in the game earlier. Oswald Peraza. I would play him. They're playing him at second base. He played that position 12 times through all of minor leagues. I would put him at short and put IKF at third, who won a gold glove there. I mean, you called this kid up and barely play him, and when you do play him, it's at a position he's not comfortable with. I don't really like that. Although today they did just that. They played IKF at third and Peraza at short. Peraza went 3-for-4 today. Recording his first three-hit game. He got his first major league hit. Being a double, but yeah, young guys all called up on this team because of all the injuries. I mean, we had Benintendi going down, Stanton, Carpenter, now Rizzo, and it looks like LeMahieu's headed to the IL as well. It's like it's all coming together at once, and that's why this roster is looking like the way that it is.
And how important is it to have a guy like Aaron Judge that not only can produce offensively, defensively, but he can be that guy for the young players or players that are moving around or both, that he's a sign of consistency in this roster. And not only can they expect great things from him, but he's there. And he's not, you know, Giancarlo Stanton has had a lot of injury woes pretty much every year since he joined the Yankees, unfortunately, which I think has led to some people believing that it really hasn't panned out up to this point. But with Aaron Judge, you really don't have this problem. He's been hurt in the past, but this year he's not slowing down. I mean, how valuable is it to have him there? And I mean, that can happen in the future. Stanton has not shown he can stay healthy. Matt Carpenter probably won't return to the team for as well as he was hitting the ball before he went down. Benintendi, same kind of deal. I don't think teams see him at a very high value anymore like they did, you know, 2-3 years ago or right around the time he was first traded. I think there's going to be a lot of moving parts on this Yankees team, and they need to have one mainstay, and I think Aaron Judge is a great pick for that.
I agree with that, but one thing I do want to talk about, a lot of people doubting the Yankees going into the postseason, saying they're going to be a typical not make it past the divisional round type team again. It's all lining up great for the Yankees. If they could shut it out, win the division, they get all these guys back from the IL at the exact same time. Benintendi will be back for the postseason. Carpenter will be back for the postseason. Hopefully Stanton will be back for the postseason, and Rizzo definitely will. You balance that lineup out with the firepower that they had in the first half of the year, like splitting up the lefties in the lineup, that could be dangerous. That could be very dangerous.
And when you got a team like the Rays that are, when the playoffs come around, the Rays are in the division with the Yankees, they're still going to be injured. They're still going to have a lot of their players injured. That proved to be a big problem for them last season when they failed to get out of the ALDS round because the Red Sox just kind of overtook them. I don't think the Red Sox were the better team. It came to the point the Rays were just beat down. And the Yankees are going to be the benefactor of that, I think. And I'm not saying they draw the Rays. Who really knows how that's going to shake out? We got a whole month. There's still a lot to play out. We don't even know if the Rays will be the wild card team. But just in general, I do think things are going to be favorable for the Yankees if they get all these guys back at the same time. I mean, it is a long season, 162 games. And when you can have a situation like that where all your banged up pieces can come back all at once, assuming there's not a huge wrench in the chemistry of the group, which I don't think there should be. You know, the Yankees have got basically 30 world titles. They don't do that with a bunch of schmucks. And I could see them at least. I think they're at least going to make the ALCS this season. I think that's a full stop. It's just going to happen.
One thing that bothers me is that the starting rotation in the playoff, undecided. Gerrit Cole has yet to prove himself as a Yankee in postseason play. I don't know if you could trust Cortez as a game one starter. I mean, you got to.
You give Gerrit Cole the ball.
You got to give Gerrit Cole the ball for game one, and I want Severino for game two if he's healthy.
And let me, I'm interrupting here, but let me add, who says people that are injured coming back are going to be great all of a sudden? I mean, you're having that factor of, okay, you've been off the ball, you got rust, we're throwing you into a playoff situation. What are you going to be great? Are you going to be great for us? Because you got to be great in the playoffs. You can't be average. So that's also a factor. You have to. Not everyone that comes back from injury is all of a sudden great.
That's a great point. But I mean, the guys you see here, plenty of postseason experience.
They don't have average players.
Won the World Series with the Red Sox. Giancarlo Stanton hit 7 home runs in 6 games 2 years ago in the COVID playoffs. Matt Carpenter. Old guy, he's been in the playoffs. He's won a World
Series. Is he coming back?
He will be back by the playoffs. Anthony Rizzo won a World Series in 2016. A lot of these guys coming back will have a lot of postseason experience. So I don't think, they'll definitely be rusty. Everyone's rusty coming off the IL. It'll take a few games to get used to it. But a lot of these guys are familiar faces in the postseason. So that'll definitely be a good thing.
So who do we think the Yankees draw?
I think if they play today, it would be. Whoever wins the or have they been overtaken yet?
No, they have not been overtaken.
Okay, so then it's going to be whoever wins the lower card wild card game.
Who's in that? Do we know?
It's Seattle, and I want to say it's not the Twins. I can look it up.
Blue Jays?
Might be the Blue Jays. Yeah, I think because I know.
I think Toronto would win that series.
The Yankees.
No, in Seattle.
Okay,
hold on.
So I think that Toronto would probably move on to face the Yankees.
Okay, so yeah, it would be Seattle versus Toronto.
I don't know what Toronto's deal is. You haven't made the playoffs in, half a decade. You haven't. I mean, they've got firepower. Yeah, they got
plenty of firepower.
Yeah, but what have they done with it? They dumped their manager midseason. Exactly. And I'm not going to say that was the wrong call. It was the correct decision. But all things considered, you dump your manager midseason. I mean, that's going to be a big question about the way you're running things. They're trying to contend and they're trying to compete. They're not. I don't see them as a World Series contender,
especially with the back end of their bullpen. They got Romano as a closer. The rest of that bullpen is very shaky.
Yeah, they can't trot out 3 or 4 Alec Manoas, and they can't stack the back half of the batting lineup with Alejandro Kirks, which I don't even know how you would feel that about that. Excuse me, in the postseason because he's just a power hitter, and sometimes guys have cold stretches. So, and if that happened and you had a mainstay of your lineup do that, if your team like the Blue Jays, you're out.
Yeah. I mean, the Blue Jays have been basically the definition of hot and cold throughout this entire season. They have never been like, okay, they're consistently great, or they have never been consistently bad, where, okay, we might need to look at just calling people up and getting some experience in here that the season's lost. It's been, okay, they're either right there at 500 or they're really good, and that's why they're in this wild card spot right now. And it's the last spot, and I think the Twins are just a couple games behind from that spot. So it's not exactly super close.
I know I speak for everybody in baseball that isn't a fan of an American League Central team when I say that if the option were there, I don't know that I'd let anybody from that division into the playoffs. They don't deserve it. It's been the weakest division in baseball since Cleveland went to the World Series against the Cubs all that time ago. And they've shown me nothing. Cleveland pretty much just crapped all over its window for a championship after blowing the 3-1 against Chicago. Mm-hmm. Didn't do anything any kind of inspiring after that. They had, the 2019 season when they got the All-Star game. They faltered late in the year, missed the playoffs. Yeah. And the Twins haven't won a playoff game in like 18 years. What has the AL Central shown us to where we think they have a contender? Because I don't think they do.
I mean, you could, if you told me in the preseason, like, who do you think from the AL Central could win a World Series? I would have said Chicago. But, the White Sox have been the White Sox. They have decided to kind of fall apart. And I'm really interested to see what the offseason is going to look like and their ideas. But
does it include Tony La Russa?
I don't think so. I think Chicago is smart enough to let him go.
I think they should. Now, we actually can break that out and discuss it as we move on through the show, maybe, if that's something you guys are into. Who are some viable candidates? Because this is prove it time for Chicago. Went to the playoffs 2020. They snapped like, you know, close to a 15-year drought. It's like 12. And probably should have beat Oakland. They had the bats get hot at the right time. They had, you know, the opposite of the problem we discussed earlier. Their bats got hot at the right time. They just wound up losing because their starting pitching was, you know, decided to implode. Giolito wasn't himself. Cease was hurt. It was not an ideal situation. Then, of course, last year the Astros just wiped them off the board. And this year it looks like they're just going to miss it entirely.
I mean, candidate could look at it this way. Boone, if the Yankees are another divisional round exit, and this just keeps on happening over and over and over again, I don't see them sticking with Boone. But I feel like Boone could be good for a team like Chicago, get them back in the postseason, try to make a little bit of a run. But as a Yankee fan, I don't really want Boone that much longer, if I'm being honest. Perfect world, I want Jeter.
Yeah.
I want Jeter as my manager.
My suggestion would be Ron Washington out of Atlanta. I mean, he...
Do the Rangers call him, though?
That's a good question, though. But, I mean, it's not like his exit out of Texas was exactly amazing, so...
It wasn't, but he's changed a lot around since then. Yeah. I think it's possible that job could interest him. I don't know how interested he was in Oakland last year.
From my understanding, he wasn't really that interested.
I don't blame him, but I know he had coached there before he came to Atlanta, yeah. And so... You know, he's had all his old stops open up. So, yeah, that's a great thing to bring up, Carson, because I really think that if that situation lines up, maybe he could be a choice. Do we buy or sell Joe Espada, the Astro bench coach that's been frequently brought up?
I mean, it feels like it's kind of random, or it feels like maybe some of the Astros cheating scandals kind of coming back up a little bit.
I don't know if he was part. He wasn't a part of that, though. Yeah, that was when Cora was the bench coach.
Yeah, but the thing is, you know, the stink surrounding that, you know, the Astros name, it's
and I do think that's part of why teams won't hire him, which kind of sucks. But that's kind of something you have to accept. I mean, this is Dusty Baker's last stop as a manager. Let's say hypothetically, you know, Dusty Baker was 30 years younger and wanted to go take another job. Well, it's not going to reflect on him because he took the Astros management position right at the heart of all this.
Yeah,
it's not a good look for anybody. I think Ron's a good pick. Boone's not bad. That's a little bit of a wild card option. Yeah. If the Yankees do perform to expectations, it means they at least go to the World Series. And I think they keep him if that happens. But, I mean, I think those are the best choices you could really pick from any of the Braves coaches. I mean, Walt Weiss used to manage the Rockies. I don't really know that he's overly interested in managing again. You could call up Eric Young. You know, there are a lot of great choices. Give Luis Rojas another shot at the manager's chair. A lot of people seem to like him. He didn't show me a whole heck of a lot, but a lot of people seem to like him as a team leader, which is fine.
Yeah.
One thing we're sure of is Beltran's not getting another shot.
Oh, no.
One guy I think deserves a manager job is Matt Blake, Yankees pitching coach. He came in here and he impressed a lot of people. I don't want him gone. I want him to stay as a Yankees pitching coach, but I think if there's anybody, any pitching coach around the league that deserves a manager position, I think it's him.
Well, does he have any other experience besides pitching coach?
I think he came from the Cleveland staff. I didn't know as what, but I know he came from the Cleveland staff.
Okay, so maybe just something like that, you know, athletics or exercise, something like that, nutrition. All right. I mean, yeah, but I, if I'm like Chicago, I would say, you know, maybe bench coach and then kind of work his way in right there.
Yeah, that's a good point. There are a lot of people though that were managers, you know, some years ago that are now saying they want to do it again.
Yeah.
I think John Farrell, the guy from the Red Sox years ago, won the 13 World Series.
Yeah.
I know he was fired 5 years ago or so after they missed the postseason. But I think there's a general apathy towards guys like that in this era of bench coach gets the call up.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's gonna be some apathy towards guys like that were fired from bigger organizations that have those standards of winning. That would be like if the Yankees hired a middle of the road guy, won one, didn't do anything else, and they dropped him. I don't know how many people would want to hire that guy after that. That's just one example. Mm-hmm. I know people want, you know, the old Angels manager Mike Scioscia to come back.
Yeah.
He said he didn't want to.
Yeah.
But who knows? Maybe Charlie Montoyo is on the shelf. Got fired from the Blue Jays. Seems to think he can do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no.
Luke, any thoughts?
I agree. I feel like we should take a switch into division races now, if you guys are with that.
Well, that's going to be a great way to bring us into our first break here on Student Section. When we come back, we will talk about those division races. We'll have a lot of great talking points right here on 90.7 The Capstone.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
Welcome back into Student Section tonight, where we are discussing all things Major League Baseball. Once again, I am Will Miller.
Luke Torrey.
And Carson Keel.
And if you're just joining us, we are so glad to have you. We're getting into an interesting part of tonight's show and the discussion of the playoff races, because we're right here in the first week of September, and we're really getting down to business here in terms of this postseason chase. The picture is starting to become clearer, but it's still really not that clear. Lots to unpack here, guys. Your early thoughts?
So I guess we want to start off with the AL East. I mean, the East is basically looking at the AL and the NL. Those are the two best divisions right now that we can look at in terms of playoffs. Now, the West divisions are better in terms of teams quality, but right now, looking at the AL East, Yankees still in the lead, but Tampa Bay is on their heels. 4.5 games behind, not six like we stated earlier. So that's closer than I thought. Really close.
Oh, five now because the Yankees just won that first.
That is true. So it's not updated. Still Toronto, they're only 6 games behind. Baltimore's 9.5. You're really reaching right there, but still stranger things have happened. And then you have Boston at 15, and they're 12 games away from elimination. So maybe the wild card if they get really lucky, but no.
Not how Boston sports work.
you're supposed to deflate some balls. You're supposed to have a camera. You know, some very strange things.
Yeah, just some. What's this extra television in the dugout? Yeah. Don't worry about it, guys. Don't worry about it.
Yeah,
the Astros know a lot about that one too.
Yeah, what are you doing with the watch here? You know, it's a really strange looking watch. But still, look the AL East. Please stop banging on our trash can, sir. Anyway, the AL East, like we said earlier, it's not locked up yet for the Yankees. It's Tampa Bay, I think, is your only contender, really, when it comes to someone who can make that switch.
They've won it the last couple of years.
Yeah. So I got to go with the Yankees keeping it, just because of how good Aaron Judge has been playing so far. And then maybe you have some good luck coming with guys coming back into later in September. Maybe a little bit of also October. I think they play a series in October.
One right at the first of the month.
Okay, yeah.
That's how it's been the last few years.
Yeah, but of course you also have your rescheduled stuff like that. But I can't see any switches. Wild card wise, Tampa Bay's they're not locked up because the wild card when it comes to the AL is insane right now. Both Tampa Bay and Seattle are 1.5 games ahead. So they're not close to locking it up yet, but they have a good lead. And they have Toronto right there. So we could have, right at the moment, there's two teams in the AL wild card from the AL East, plus Seattle. So.
And then Baltimore's right there too, just a few games back.
Yeah, they blew that key doubleheader against Toronto yesterday, though, or was it? No, Monday.
Yeah, Monday.
I think that's precisely the reason why Baltimore just didn't have it this season to make the playoffs. No shame on them.
That was a surprise to all of us.
The fantastic job that everybody has done changing the culture there has just been fantastic.
Nobody saw that.
They just don't have the pitching. Their bullpen has been great. They've been one of the best bullpens not only in the American League but also in baseball.
I think a good sign for them, nobody saw this coming. And a season like this where they have a winning season going into September where they haven't seen that in a really long time.
And they're probably going to have one
anyway. The prospects, the farm system that they have coming up, calling up two of the top five picks in the top five prospects in Gunnar Henderson and Adley Rutschman this year. And they got more coming through the farm system. Their future is looking very good.
All right, now let me introduce a controversial idea here. Baltimore pitching, it's not their greatest strength. Would you guys be opposed to the idea of Baltimore trading for a starter, a good, solid starter?
Well, no. I mean, that's something they need to do. Now, Mike Elias, general manager, was once with Houston. We saw the way he turned them around, although they still don't have a real banner to show for it. Anyway, separate topic. The job he's done has been remarkable, and he has said they will be players in free agency. That should be their first target. But there are going to be big names on the market from a starting pitching standpoint in free agency this winter, this spring, this whenever. And I think there's going to be a lot of opportunities for some of those guys to showcase because you got the World Baseball Classic going on, preparations for that.
Yeah.
And there's going to be big names. So, Carson, who do you see?
I mean, I'm trying to think of the names. I mean, DeGrom's a name you can look at.
Too expensive.
That's true. It's Baltimore. I'm trying to think of the names on the market. I'm kind of blanking on that at the moment.
I would have said Tanaka if he was still in the major league.
Yeah, he's playing very well in Japan right now.
Who's to say he can't come back?
A sub 2 ERA. He's got like 19 wins on the year.
Is this Blake Snell's contract year?
No, I think it's next year.
Okay.
Yeah, I can double check that right now.
Yeah, go ahead and do that. I don't know if this is Blake's contract year. This is his second year with the Padres.
Bobby Ray. Did he sign a extension?
I don't know.
It wasn't, yes.
I think he did, yeah.
Yeah, he signed a 5-year, $115 million.
Okay, yeah, and we know Joe Musgrove did over in San Diego also. 5 years, $100 million.
A name to look out for, trade or, like, they could do a sign and trade or sign him. Carlos Rodon signed a 2-year extension with the Giants, but both years have a player option, so he could opt out on that.
Yeah.
We know his wife probably wants him to. I mean, have either of you guys seen her going and posting on social media?
Oh, no, I don't keep up with that stuff. Is it bad?
I mean, she's not happy with, you know, the fact that he got snubbed at the All-Star, which is fair. I think there's just a general unhappiness surrounding the Giants organization right now.
Yeah.
And look, I kept up with the Phillies a lot when I was first getting into baseball, and I feel comfortable saying this. Gabe Kapler is not a real manager.
another guy to look out for. Clayton Kershaw will be a free agent this upcoming year.
Oh, he's old, though. I don't see that's
him.
The thing.
That's what, but a lot of young pitchers on Baltimore, I think he could be a good mentor, bring him in for a one-year contract. I honestly don't – I see him re-signing on, like, a one-year deal in L.A.
What about the kid over in Texas? Speaking of Kershaw, he's from down there. What about the guy at Texas? What's his name?
I'm trying to think about who you're talking about. Which Texas? The
Rangers.
Okay. By the way, update on Snell.
Martin Perez.
That could be one. But Snell is a free agent in 2024.
Okay.
Yeah. So, I mean, Baltimore, they do have options. I think the issue is, do you maybe kind of not exact, don't, it's not exactly a rebuild, but do you kind of stay average, get like a mid first round pick, and then try to maybe go all out 2024?
That's probably not a horrible suggestion because this year kind of came out of nowhere. I don't know. They're still playing for the wild card.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not even to where this season's written off in their minds yet. You know, at this point last year, they probably lost like 80-some-odd games or 90-some-odd games, but obviously not the case this season. But I think that the wild cards are probably going to hold. We know a central team's not making the wild card because that's not how baseball works these days. So we're going to get the Rays. The Rays are going to be in it.
I agree.
Yeah.
We can.
I think you scratch the Rays off 100%, making the wild card at least.
And the Red Sox are not.
I'm with Carson. I think the Yankees hold on to the division. I definitely think the Rays make the wild card.
And the Blue Jays, I just don't know. What is the remainder of their schedule like?
The Blue Jays, I think it's not terrible, but I don't think it. The Blue Jays have been so flaky that. It's like, do you say anything? Because
they got some easy games coming up. So they play the Rangers for four. Actually, the Rangers for three.
That's possible.
Then they play the Rays for three or for four.
If they can win a four-game series against the Rays, that flips the whole wild card picture.
Five-game series.
Really?
Doubleheader.
Wow.
On the 13th of September.
Okay, that's a game to watch.
And then they go to back home to face the Orioles for a three-game series.
They probably win that series.
Two-game series with the Phillies and then Rays for four again.
Wow. If they can take, you know, they got, what, nine games against the Rays. They win six of those or so, and that flips the whole lot.
Right after that Rays series, the Yankees head to Toronto for a three-game set, and then...
That is going to be intense, guys, most definitely. That's going to be an environment to watch.
Oh, yeah,
yeah, right. It is.
I think we stay on the East and head over to the National League, talk about an NL East race.
Yes, yes, and we have another, you know, news of the day type of topic. The Atlanta Braves last night took a 10-9 victory over the Oakland Athletics. Probably more stressful than it needed to be.
Another piece of news, back Scherzer headed to the IL for the Mets. Big loss for the Mets in this division.
Again.
Big loss for them going forward. They haven't even been playing terrible. It's just how good the Braves have been playing. I mean, the Braves have been playing out of their
mind. 60-24 since June
1st. They've won six straight games. 21.
Seven.
They're 21. Oh, seven now. They're 21.
They played this afternoon. So.
They're 22-5 in their last 27 games. Where the Mets lost three straight before today and are 12-12 in their last 24 games.
Is that game over?
The Mets?
Yeah.
No, they're like top of the fourth last I checked.
Okay, then that game is not over. The Mets are playing the Pirates right now.
Well, let me say, the Mets played a doubleheader today against the Pirates because of rain. The Mets won their first game. Last I saw, it was a 4-0 lead.
They're 13-12 in their last 25 games. That's not cutting it when the Braves are 21-12.
Yeah, and they're, well, the Mets will reclaim the division lead by half a game.
Yeah, so top of the sixth, it is right now Mets 7, Pirates 0.
So if the chalk holds at the end of the day, you know, by the end of this broadcast, or not the end, maybe not the end of this broadcast, but the end of the night tonight, the Mets are going to reclaim the sole lead in the NL East by half a game.
Yeah.
Doesn't by any stretch mean it's over.
Oh, no.
Obviously, it's nowhere near over. I expect with the way the Braves have been playing that they will eventually overtake the division, especially for, you know, to have a blow like Max Scherzer leaving for the IL. Once again, this is the second time the Mets have been dealing with this year.
Let me say, we literally have a playoff series this month coming up. Mets are at the Braves September 30th through the 2nd. That's a huge series. That's probably going to be when the division is decided, my best guess. And that could probably determine playoff spots also. Overall.
Well, that's going to shake up your wild card picture on the National League side, because that's going to be which team is going to go to the wild card. Which team's going to play, you know, the San Diego Machine, which admittedly is down a man, because Tatis, I don't even know what's true, what's not with that whole situation.
We heard the hair.
Ringworm, hair product. I just think he straight up took steroids.
It's messed up. It's messed up what they're doing over there.
It's not like exactly the whole trade with Washington. It's not like the assets with Soto and I always screwed up the name. Bell, I think.
Yeah, Josh Bell.
Josh Bell. There we go. I always think Archer for some reason, so I'm like, yeah, it's a Josh Archer. But and I mean, it's not like those have been playing.
Where is Chris Archer now?
He's on the Rays. He's back
really?
On the Rays.
I knew he was last year.
He pitched like yesterday against the Yankees.
Still a starter or bullpen guy?
He's a starter. Or no, I'm sorry, he's on the Twins.
Oh.
He played yesterday against the Yankees. I got confused because we just played the Rays. But he's a starter. He did not pitch well. I think we hit him pretty well yesterday.
So the Mets-Braves series is the second last series of the season for both these teams. Mets are playing Washington, and Washington's had met the Mets' number a little bit this season. I mean, again, they had that big blow where they lost a game recently against Washington when it comes to the Mets. And then the Braves play Miami, and the Braves have had Miami's number this year. So that could be also another time where we could see a switch happen.
And there are a lot of those to keep an eye on, and that's why the MLB playoff race is so exciting, because it's not even necessarily down to just when these clubs play one another.
Yeah.
Which it probably will be when you get to it, but those aren't the only games that matter.
Everything's up for grabs, especially with the new playoff format, the wild card series now. Instead of just one wild card game, we got the wild card series, and that's going to play a big factor with these teams, because there could be upsets that eliminate good teams that deserve to be going farther, and that
happens
that
also.
Yeah, that will play a big factor early in the playoffs.
Yeah, and that's – I think the – I have an outside-the-box prediction. Maybe it's not an outside-the-box position, and I'm just out of the loop. But with this new playoff format that a lot of people have been wanting for a while, I think that for these extra teams that are going to be in the field, if they have any big free agents coming, this is an opportunity that those men have – that they might not have in previous years to make more money, get a bigger paycheck.
Oh, yeah.
I agree. If you've proven yourself in the playoffs, whether it's wild card, divisional, championship, or World Series, if you're proving yourself and you can play in the playoffs, teams love that more than anything. Like, so they'll throw extra money your way.
Let's say for argument's sake that Aaron Judge sucked, or maybe that he was a middling type of player. Contract year for him and he hits, you know, I know 20-something is nothing to sneeze at, but say he hit that many. But then he went off for an Arosa Arena-like postseason where he clocks 9 or 10 home runs. All of a sudden, the amount of money that he's going to command in free agency is going to go through the roof. And if the Yankees would have been out in a previous format, whatever team he was on would have been out in a previous format, wouldn't have had that opportunity. So that is also something that if you're into the more business side of baseball, free agency side of baseball, as I know a lot of folks who are, that is a great thing to keep in the back of your mind as we approach these extended playoffs.
I mean, these extended playoffs, I do have my mixed feelings on them. I love the wild card game where you're one game.
Like the one and done format.
Yep.
And, I'm a big fan of that, too.
Yeah, but the series does make a little more sense in the overall scheme of things.
I agree.
But
it's more TV revenue.
That's the real reason. It's money. But still, and I'm thinking, you kind of got me going. Wild card upsets, I mean, just again, the teams that are in right now, if I had to think of a team that could really make a run, I know we were just kind of dumping on them, but Toronto kind of has it. They've been flaky, I said that, but if they could get hot at the right time, they could really make a run.
I like that pick. My dark horse pick to make a decent run is Seattle. I think Seattle's got the pieces. They got the young pitching, Logan Gilbert, absolute stud.
Yeah.
Don't pitch Robbie Ray in a day game. If Seattle gets the wild card or gets the divisional series, just don't pitch him in a day game. He'll give up 6 runs in the first inning.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's my dark horse. What about you?
Why are teams so bad in day games? Right. The Orioles have lost 9 day games in a row. I was at one of them. And the Braves have a phobia of day games.
Yeah.
Why are teams bad on day games? I'm sure there are a lot of logistics
into
that. Playing the night before,
mostly that because, you go to it, you're in a baseball culture where – all right, you get to the stadium at a certain time, you play your game, you're up for another maybe 3 to 4 hours on, addressing, kind of maybe reviewing some film, leaving, going back to the hotel, maybe you party a little bit depending on who you are. But I think that does affect where, it's kind of a multitude of factors in that kind of area.
And it's like, I know Saturday night games are here to stay because television.
Yeah.
But in the, in baseball's true heyday, back in, the right around the World War II era, you had doubleheaders every Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Do you guys think that would be a better idea logistically for these players?
Or? Absolutely not.
If you want more injuries, then
question had to be asked.
Yeah, I mean, with these guys playing at the level they're playing, I don't see that playing any good in anything. These guys got to be off there. 162 games. Like I said, Aaron Judge before, he's played 122 of the 126 games. That's a 6'7" guy. It's remarkable that he.
I mean, what is he like? 290?
Yeah,
pounds?
He's I think I saw something. He's the same height and weight as Zion Williamson. Before he got fat.
You're about college Zion.
Pre-shoe explosion Zion.
Yes, yes.
I guess just kind of thinking going forward, TV kind of the idea of maybe more exclusive games. I kind of pitched this idea. I'm kind of surprised we haven't seen more teams playing minor league stadiums. I mean, if you kind of were looking at that idea from that front, you were talking about doubleheaders on Sundays.
I have a different thought on that, actually. I thought that teams should go in places like the International Series where, a team either doesn't have a market or, like in the Dodgers case, go back and play a game in New York. Try to just get some sort of local, local, what's the word I'm looking for here? Just traction flowing. It'll expand the game. Brooklyn doesn't have a baseball team anymore, obviously. If you wouldn't play in Las Vegas, I know the A's have played games in Las Vegas.
Well, I mean, play a game, I'm a minor league guy. I like that kind of stuff. You can play in the Brooklyn Cyclones. It's right on Coney Island.
They are a short season team. They would have to, put concerted effort into putting that park up to scratch.
They're no longer short season because of the contraction.
Are they single A?
Yeah, they're single A.
Okay.
I mean, we have seen more of that in years past, pretty recently. We saw the London series. We see the Field of Dreams game. I would like a game to be played at, the Polo Grounds or something like that.
Yeah.
I like these, these all over the nation, all over the world games being played. It's cool.
I think, I feel like this is kind of the idea of local marketing. Again, with the idea of playing in minor league stadiums, I have no idea why the Angels have not played in just because my hometown team, the Rock City Trash Pandas, they have not hosted an Angels game yet. I'm not saying it has to be regular season, but it's it's kind of odd, You want marketing to happen.
Bring the taxi squad while the World Baseball Classic is going on.
Yeah, there you go. I mean, just you could slap these guys with Angels hats, and I think people would be happy. You know,
Sonny D, baby. It's all about yeah. Sonny.
Another race I want to get into, because we've covered all the tight division races. Pujols, 5 home runs away from 700. Is he getting it?
We'll talk about that when we get back. We're going to go to break here on Student Section. When we come back, we'll wrap up the show. Stay right here on 90.7 The Capstone.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
Welcome back to Student Section here on 90.7 The Capstone. We are wrapping up the show here on this Wednesday night, and as promised, we are going to talk about the second prominent home run chase that is happening, and this one is a pretty big deal. You've got Albert Pujols on his retirement tour, one last year in Cardinal Red, and he is tantalizingly close, 5 home runs away with a month left to go.
I think he gets it, but I think it's going to be a struggle. He only plays against lefty pitching on a team that's pretty much got the division locked up, but they could play him down the stretch because they got the division locked up, but there's no chance they get the number one seed in the NL. Dodgers are 100% getting that. So I think maybe once they clinch the division, I think they could play him every game. But as of right now, they play him only against lefty pitching, and he'll get pitch-hit opportunity.
Do we have a magic number? We know the Brewers
are 5 away.
5 away.
No, not the the Cardinals to win the Central.
Cardinals, I want to say that there may be 3. No, not that close.
No. If they were that close, they'd probably already
play. I don't know why I was thinking 3 for some reason. I might be thinking like another season, but
20 games.
Oh, okay. Well, they might not. Well, then we can pretty much write that off as realistically happening, unless they do what they did last year.
Well, and let me just say, the Cards actually have a pretty decently easy schedule coming up with them. They are playing Washington, Pittsburgh, Milwaukee, Cincinnati, San Diego, and LA, the Dodgers.
And 3 of those teams don't have real pitching.
Yeah. So it's not like it's exactly impossible. Let me put that out there because, again, and they're playing some of these teams multiple times. I think Pittsburgh and Milwaukee are the two. I think they have only one series left against Cincinnati. So it's a strong possibility this happens. It's only 5, and he just needs those 5. There's a chance once he hits 700, he's done. Like doesn't play anymore unless they want to pull him for the playoffs. So
I mean, he's been helping the team out, especially against lefty pitching. I could see him starting in the playoffs against lefty.
And since July, he's been seeing the ball great. He's hitting the ball in like the high 200s on average since that time. He's
got about seven homers since All-Star break, I think.
I think it's 7. So he's seeing the ball well. I mean, we've talked all show about bats getting hot at the right time, and that is a heck of a bat to get hot. In any era, we know he's not in his prime, but in any era, to have him be dangerous is a big help to your team because, I mean, let's be honest here. If we have prime Albert Pujols showing out in the postseason, you got some balls that are going to be absolute rockets.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Yeah. I mean, if you do have him in the playoffs, I mean, if I'm any team, I'm pretty much scared because the playoffs are a magical time in baseball. Anything can happen. We've seen the impossible come true.
Many times.
So, just saying that there's a chance to get 700 in the playoffs. Which imagine that happening on the way to a World Series. That would be like a storybook ending. Yep. And then the fact it's the Cardinals makes me sick.
Why? Are you a Cubs fan?
No, I'm a Braves fan.
Well, I mean,
I don't remember 2019.
Oh, I remember it every day. I don't even want to talk about it. I'm. You know what? I'm going to talk about it. I was coming home from school that day. I didn't even have a chance to turn on the game. And my cousin called me and told me it's 9-0. I'm like, you're BSing me here. And he was not. But it's you got to admit, as a fan of the sport, there's something right about seeing Albert Pujols with the birds on the bat on his uniform as he makes this last charge at 700. We know that's the career accomplishment that he's seeking. He serves to get it. If COVID hadn't happened, he'd have.
Yeah.
And I wanted it to be with the Angels. Yeah. And I definitely didn't want it to be with the Dodgers.
Yeah.
I hate the Dodgers.
I am rooting for the fact he hits 700. I am not rooting for the fact he wins another ring in Cincinnati, but St. Louis. So, yeah, not yeah. I'm two different sides I'm on.
All right, and now I just want to wrap up the show with a little MVP talk for AL. I think NL, Goldschmidt's got it locked up. AL, I think Judge got it locked up, but I think it's a little bit of a race with Ohtani.
It's going to depend how much value they place on Ohtani's position. We got to remember, though, Aaron Judge is a center fielder by trade. This is not, you know, my dad loves to bring this up, that Goldschmidt's a first baseman, and it's like that defensive position compared to a lot of others is not difficult. And Judge is not in that camp. Judge plays a very difficult position. You can play him center. You can play him right. I don't know. I mean, if you hated him enough, you could probably play him in left field some days. Yeah.
But I don't think it's much of a debate. I think it's notable Ohtani is doing two things very well, which nobody else is doing, which is just amazing. But he's not the best in both. Also, playing what has to be considered meaningless games because they're not fighting for a playoff spot. Like I said earlier, if Judge hadn't done what he has done in the past week, the division would have completely crumbled. And he is actually legit carrying them. I think the only reason it's somewhat of a debate, believe me, I'm a diehard Yankee fan, I completely believe that Judge should win it, is because what he's doing at that, what Ohtani's doing at the level that he's doing it is obviously just unbelievable. That being said, it is a slight bit of a debate, but I think Judge has it.
Judge should get it, and you know, you can't have a substitute for somebody that's such an offensive force that he's going to hit 60 home runs, because I mean, I think he's going to get it. He hit 60 home runs, except no substitutes. Shohei, heck of a pitcher. You know, he's got a heck of a bat also, and nobody's denying that he's a top 10 player in the sport. I don't think you'll hear anybody that knows anything about baseball make an argument against that. The meaningless games, I understand where you're coming from. That's not his fault. The Angels as an organization are terrible. But, yeah, I think you do have to take that into consideration. Aaron Judge is going on a World Series push in addition to the baseball record books. Shohei Ohtani is playing baseball, and he's doing a heck of a job of it. But at the end of the day, that's what he's doing. He's just playing ball.
He's playing ball, and Judge is playing on a different level of ball. His entire team was struggling. There were 8 automatic outs in some of the games last week, and we would win 2-1 because Judge would hit 2 home runs. We've seen it all year. Like I said, 55 homers, 26 games left. I wouldn't be surprised if he went
120 runs batted in.
He's an above 300 hitter. He's an all-round player. He's got 15 stolen bags. He's got a plus arm in the outfield.
Would you argue he's 5-tool?
I would argue he's 5-tool. 15 bags stolen at a 6-7 frame is absolutely 5-tool player to me. And he's gold glove caliber and absolute plus arm. You should never run him. So, 5-tools, no doubt.
It's Judge. Come on, let's be serious here. I mean, I know people like to say, oh, Yankees bias, but this is the one year where it's like, yeah, Aaron Judge is your MVP. There's no bias here. He's the best player in the American League. There's another way. National League, I got to go with I was going to say another name. Goldschmidt, I mean, you got to go. You got to take him. It's just, I hate saying that, but so.
I think this season by Judge is the best we've seen in decades by any player the entire
season. It's going to be when he gets 62.
60. Yeah. He's passing Maris. F it, he's passing Bonds.
Maybe if he has one of those 10-runner Rosarena postseasons.
Yeah. And maybe he needs to take some steroids also. But
yeah. Who can really be sure? If he ends up with 66 or whatever, counting the postseason, it's the best season offensively baseball's ever seen.
I mean, say he hits 7 in the next 26 games they got left, and then he's got the playoffs. They make a deep push, he's passing Bonds.
And he gets, you know, 7 or 8 home runs. He's a 70 at that point.
Yep.
That's clinically insane, guys. There's no doubt about it.
Who would have thought?
Again, $400 million at least. That's what we talked about that at the top of the show. Well, we thank you very much for tuning in here on 90.7 The Capstone to the first edition of Student Section MLB. We hope you have a great rest of your Wednesday night. One more time, I'm Will Miller.
Luke Torrey.
And Carson Kiel.
Thank you once again for being a part of this, and we will see you next week. Roll Tide.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.